Well, this morning I want to tell you the story of a man with a withered hand. It's an event that took place when Jesus was teaching in a synagogue on the Sabbath day. And a man was there that had a hand that had been injured, probably through an accident. And Jesus reached out and restored this withered hand. And there were some Pharisees and Sadducees who were watching all this take place, and they were filled with rage with what they saw. I want to speak a word of hope to those of us who came this morning and, frankly, we're not really sure why. It's difficult to get out of bed and go to a building like this because you're not sure Jesus really cares for you. Maybe you're a little embarrassed or ashamed because of something that's happened in your life, and it was a great deal of effort in just coming today. I want to show you from this man, you and I are just like him. We're withered. But Jesus is interested in restoring that which is broken in our lives. Let me show you it. Beginning in Luke chapter 6 and verse 6. The physician Luke says, on another Sabbath. It's almost like he's saying, okay, here we go again. On another Jewish Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and he was teaching. And there was a man there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees were watching Jesus closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath so that they might find reason to accuse him. But Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he said to the man with the withered hand, get up and come forward. And the man got up and came forward. And Jesus said to him, and said to them, the Pharisees, I ask you, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to destroy it? After looking around at them all, he then said to him, the man with the withered hand, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they themselves were filled with rage and discussed together what they might do to Jesus. I've said before that every miracle Jesus performed is actually a divine parable. What that means is when you look at what Jesus did in healing this man, for example, there's a message from heaven for each of us. Behind every earthly miracle is a parable from God. Now, I'll show you this from the healing of the man with the withered hand by first pointing out the restoration of this withered hand perfectly pictures the deliverance that Jesus brings me, you, all of his followers. The withered hand was a recent deformity caused by an accident. Now we know this because of the language of the scripture. In fact, the word that is translated withered is in a tense to show us that it is a condition of recent origins. In addition, the passive verb whose right hand was withered indicates that this man, unlike my niece who was born with spina bifida, a deformity from birth, this man had a recent deformity. Now again, the physician Luke, who writes this story for us, tells us that it is the right hand of this man that is deformed. The Gospel of Hebrews is an apocryphal book. It's not in your Bible, but it's been around for centuries, and the Jews and others have been familiar with it. The Gospel of Hebrews tells us that this man was a stonemason, that he was injured while at work. And any of you who've ever been carpenters and worked with your hands or bricklayers, you understand the importance of your hands. the physician, Luke, tells us that it is this man's right hand. Now, that may be inconsequential to us today, but in Jesus' day, the fact that this man had his right hand withered was extremely important. For the right hand was the hand of power in Jesus' day. The left hand was considered the unclean hand. It was with the right hand that you would greet people. With your right hand in Jesus' day, you would bestow a blessing. With your right hand, you would feed yourself. Because there was no sanitation like there is today, it was your left hand that was used for bodily functions. And because of that, it was an insult, a direct insult, if you ever extended your left hand. Your left hand had to always be by your side. This man's right hand was wounded. Now, Dr. Snyder was in the earliest service this morning, and afterwards he told me that if there is something that causes an injury to your hand, your nervous system shuts down. Your brain stops working in terms of moving that injured hand. And he gave me the technical name for it. It's a reflexive syndrome of the nervous system. So that literally when there is an injury, your hand withers like that. It atrophies. It's one of the reasons why if you've had an atrophied limb for any extended period of time and you have surgery on it, sometimes the doctors will have to cast your good limb in order to teach your brain how to rework itself, your nervous system to be rewired. This man with the withered hand is in the synagogue. He's lost his ability to make a living. He's probably highly embarrassed. He has no power. The only hand he can use is the unclean hand. What I want you to see is the parable behind this miracle. Jesus will only begin to move in my life when I sense the loss of my own personal power. Now, this is good news for those of us who've come this morning to this place, and we look around and we think, you know, everybody else has got it together, but I don't. I can't get control of my anger. I can't get control of my life. My addictions are ruining me. I am powerless. This is good news for those of us in that category. Because it is this man that Jesus moves toward. It's also some bad news for those of us who may have any kind of experience in religious settings where it's all about your commitment to God and your vow to God that you'll be better, you'll try harder, your promise that tomorrow will be a better day and you mean it this time. And I'm telling you, I cannot describe the number of services I've been in where the emphasis has always been upon rededication and recommitment and the things that you promise God. One of the reasons why maybe churches never feel the power of God is because we never come to grips with the fact that we have a withered right hand. We have no power in and of ourselves. It's one of the reasons why it seems Scripture teaches that you're to let your yes be yes and your no be no and stay away from making promises to God. It's also maybe why the Apostle Paul writes and he says, "For Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, for when I am weak, then I am strong." He would later speak about the fact that we have this treasure in jars of clay. This treasure being the gospel, jars of clay being our lives. The power of Christ is within broken, withered, wounded people so that the excellency of the power may be of Him and not us. So if you're here this morning and you really feel a little hopeless, that things cannot change, I'd like to encourage you. You're the man with the withered hand. But notice, Jesus will only move in your life when you and I sense our own uncleanliness and worthlessness. Now, again, I don't mean to insult anybody who is left-handed. We've got a lot of folks who are left-handed here in our church, but you got to understand something. Because of the background that I've given you, you realize that during the Middle Ages, in the ancient days when Jesus walked the earth, to be left-handed was often considered to be a curse. Because culturally, the left hand was unclean. Well, this man's hand of power and personal cleanliness was withered. So all he had the ability to extend was that which was unclean and worthless. Scripture says, here's a trustworthy saying deserving my full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to deliver sinners, of whom I am the worst. I'm mentoring a gentleman who has struggled with alcohol most of his life. His dad was killed in an automobile accident where alcohol was involved. His siblings have been addicted most of their lives. This man attends Emmanuel, and I'm just being a friend to him, loving him, watching him as Jesus stretches out his withered hand. And this man spoke to me this week. I called him and he said, you know, what's going on at Emmanuel? What's happening? And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, it's amazing. He said, I go to my rehab group. He said, and people go around and they talk about church and it's unsolicited. People are saying, hey, where do you go to church? Man, you ought to come to Emmanuel. He said, everybody is talking about going to Emmanuel. You know, that's probably the sweetest music that I've heard to my own ears in a long time. And the fact of the matter is, what you've got happening is you've got people with withered hands who are saying, hey, listen, there's people meeting Jesus over at Emmanuel. Notice, when Jesus begins to move in people's lives, like mine, where there's a withered hand, where there's no power, no cleanliness, he restores the power, he restores the cleanliness, but it's all of him. This is why the Apostle Paul could write these words, I've been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Whatever goodness is in my life, whatever love I have for my wife and for my kids, whatever I do for the kingdom, whatever it is that you see that you might admire, let me tell you something. That's not me. That is not me. I'm the man with the withered hand. That's Jesus and his power in my life. You say, well, what's the big deal? All I can see is you. I can't see Jesus. Well, let me tell you what the big deal is in terms of me. If I think it's me, if I'm the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing, then I'm going to judge you if you're not like me. I'm going to look down my nose at you because I think I'm the one who's been committed. I'm the one who's made the decision to be faithful. I'm the one who's better than other folks. Oh, but listen, no. I know who I am. I'm the man with the withered hand. Therefore, you come around me and you've got some deformities in your life. Hey, that's all right with me. I don't judge you. You're struggling right now? That's all right with me. I understand. Only Jesus can heal you. And I'm not going to establish some kind of ritual or level of performance that you must assent to in order for me to be comfortable around you. No. I understand what it means to be withered and to feel the power of Christ Therefore, I'm going to love you, and I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to take you off the performance scale for receiving my acceptance. I remember a few years ago, there was a couple in our church who had a little girl, and she was born with spina bifida. And I made a trip down to Oklahoma City. When I walked in that room, listen, moms, I understand the pain when you give birth to a boy or a girl whose spine is open and the doctor tells you that your child may never walk. I mean, my own family has experienced that. So I understand the hurt. I walked in that room and the mother was crying. And there are times you should say nothing but just be there. And I felt that was one of those times. I said nothing. I was just there. Then I prayed for them, no words, but right before I left, after about 30 minutes, I felt impressed to say something that Nikki, the mom, would later say transformed her life. I looked at her and I said, Nikki, remember this. Every one of us has deformities. Some are just more visible than others. She said she realized that this child whom God had given her, the child that she loved, would have a struggle in life, but it would be no different than the struggles everybody has. So just turn to the Lord Jesus for strength during that time. The way, she later told me, I turned to the Lord Jesus when I saw my own deformity. But let me show you a second category of people in this text who weren't real happy with what Jesus did. They were the Pharisees. And the Bible says that there was some rage resulting from the restoration of the withered hand. And this is a perfect picture of what Phariseeism is. Now that's technically not a word. But Phariseeism is like any other religion, any other ism, where self is at the center. The scripture tells us that the Pharisees were watching Jesus as this man with the withered hand was called up. And Jesus, knowing that they were setting a trap, knowing what they were thinking, asked them the question, which is better on the Sabbath, to do what is good or that which is bad, to heal or to destroy? You say, what was the trap they were setting? Remember the rules I told you Pharisees had in their culture? All kinds of Sabbath rules. You couldn't walk more than 2,000 feet on a Sabbath day, really 3,000 feet, 2,000 cubits. That's a Sabbath day's journey. You remember you couldn't pick corn or harvest corn. We saw that last Sunday. There were several hundred other rules, including you couldn't participate in any rehabilitation. You had to rest. And so they see this man who is withered, and they want to trap Jesus. They want to make him guilty of violating the law. After Jesus asks the question, is it better to do good or bad on the Sabbath? With no response, he called that man with the withered hand to the front, and he said, stretch forth your hand. And you can just imagine as this man takes that withered right hand, and it's restored. The Bible says the Pharisees were filled with rage. Now that word rage is literally the word folly. They were foolish. By the way, folly is the manifestation of Phariseeism. You say, well, okay, wait. How were they foolish? Why were they filled with folly? Here's why. Anytime the religious culture or the programs of the religion get in the way of people with withered right hands finding healing through the power of Jesus Christ, the religious in that setting have become fools. In other words, it's no different than those of us who call ourselves Baptist And we get so comfortable with our traditions and our rituals that when somebody whose heart is broken, whose spirit is withered, they walk into our assembly and it's like, I don't know about this. I don't know about this. We get filled with rage, which is nothing but foolishness. What are we doing? Are we exalting the religious system above and beyond Jesus reaching out and healing a man whose spirit is withered? This is what the Pharisees did. Foolish people will often make those focused on restoration the issue. Notice what they began to say of Jesus. They discussed among themselves what they might do to Jesus. You see, Jesus was shaking up the system. Jesus was concentrating on people without power and people who were unclean. And he was saying to those people, I can heal you. You know what the foundation of foolishness is? It's a withered right hand that has never been healed. All religion is the creation of spiritual prosthetics to hide a withered right hand. But Christianity is being the kind of person who really cares for the soul that's withered. Put yourself in that synagogue. Imagine that you're the man who'd been lowered through the roof by your friends. Maybe you're the woman with the issue of blood. Maybe you're Zacchaeus. You've already experienced the healing touch of Jesus Christ. Imagine what you would feel when this man stretches forth his withered hand. There'd be a dance going on in your heart. Why? Because you've experienced your withering being healed as well. Oh, but not the Pharisees. They're filled with rage. Their hearts are foolish because they've put the system and the religion and the structure and the methodologies and the programs and the laws and everything they say above the man with the withered hand. We must be a people who really care about the woman who walks in these doors, who on Saturday night has gotten high on her drugs, and she wakes up on Sunday morning with a pounding headache and tears rolling down her cheeks because her right hand is withered. She has no power. Somebody invites her to Emmanuel. When she comes, she hears that there is a Savior who seeks out people who are withered, whose hands are atrophied, who have no personal power or cleanliness. The culture may reject them all because when that left hand is extended, it's yuck, get away from me. But Jesus says, it's all you have, isn't it? You're unclean. It's all you have, isn't it? You have no power. Come here. Come in. Stretch forth your hand. Sir, I want to say to you, I believe in you. Ma'am, I believe in you. You're here today, even though you and I both know you're withered, because you're hearing the call of Jesus. I've been there. I understand. I don't care what it is that you are struggling with. Jesus is calling your name. Don't let religion get in the way. Don't worry about what people think or say. You come to Jesus and you stretch forth that very thing that is weak, atrophied, and unclean, your life. And you say, here I am. And Jesus will touch you and restore you and strengthen you, give you back your power, give you a form of cleanliness that will amaze you, but you'll not take credit for it. And you'll go right back to atrophied people to speak of Him. He'll be on your lips, on your mind, in your heart, because you love people where they're at, and you're showing them the only hope they'll ever have. This is the story of the man with the withered hand. And I desperately want our church to be a place where when restoration takes place, there's a celebration and not an ounce of rage. Let's pray.